It's Wednesday, August 1st, and the MLB trade deadline has passed, and the Brewers sneak in a move right before the buzzer. It's Jonathan Schoop, the middle infielder from the Orioles. We'll give our thoughts on that and see how that lineup looks the rest of the way. To the Packers, the 2018 training camp is well underway. Who's standing out as we head towards family night this weekend? And MGM is now the official gaming partner of the NBA. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTabWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
Tonight, that's another Tap in the Keg podcast, episode 298. Mitchell, ones and twos. Charlie here with you.
Creeping towards 300.
We're going to get like 300 right around my birthday, I think.
It's 299. Yeah, that would be.
299 will be taped next week.
Sources can confirm that.
And then, so we'll be at the 300th on my 30th birthday. So that'll be something. So back at it again, Mitch on the
300th for the 30th birthday.
Yeah, wow, that's weird.
Creepy.
Weird how shit works sometimes. Uh-huh. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Got
the day off.
Yeah.
The week off.
I know that feeling these days.
You can just sort of take it easy and do a podcast. And
can I ask, as I posted this on Instagram and also sent it to you guys, what were your thoughts on my headband attire?
Just don't go nuts.
Let's just say Morgan was not a fan at all.
Yeah, not surprised.
She did not. She yesterday.
Is that for like running only, like exercising only?
Probably. Then yes. Although then yes, I did think about how cool it would be if I just took it out to the bar one day.
Hmm. I don't know.
Is that a no for you, Doug?
Probably.
Okay. Just make it sure.
I think you should buzz your head.
You think I should just go? I told you this. Did we talk about this last week? That I've just been the reason my hair is so long is because I have no idea what to do with it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I have zero idea.
I don't remember that. So
I kind of want to change. Like I kind of want to do something different. But like,
I just need a change.
I've been watching some Queer Eye. Like Jonathan talks about how like
nice
you don't need like to keep your same haircut all the time. Queer Eye is right. One of those shows that
it's educational.
It is educational, but it also is like one that your girlfriend has on, you're not watching it. You're just kind of doing something else, and then all of a sudden you're peering over your computer or you're peering over your phone. And you're interjecting, and you know what's going on through the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean,
and next thing you know, you're just
next thing you're into it. You know all
you're
the characters.
It every week.
Yeah, I mean, it's on Netflix, so you can pop through a full season of that. But yeah, no. If I signed you up for Queer Eye, would you do it to like reinvent your look, your feel, how you are?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think we all would, right?
Yeah, because it's cool. Like they redesign like your living space. They fix your wardrobe.
Oh, this is right. Yeah, I need all of this.
I'm
down.
They do your hair. They talk to you about your culture, which I don't really know what that is. It's just a guy who used to be on Real World Philly.
Hmm.
What's his name? Kamaro, I think is his name.
Yeah.
If you ever were a Real World Philly fan,
I mean, I probably saw it.
Oh yeah, I mean, who hasn't seen?
But that was probably 10 years ago.
Random Real World shows throughout the years. I mean, that's part of living.
Yeah.
But anyways, into the actual podcast. Before we get going, SnowTapWI. It is a website, your alternative source for sports. We have a very special SnowTap announcement that we'll get to when we talk about football later in the podcast, so stay tuned for that. Also, follow us Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SnowTapWI on all those. Follow Mitch Ross MKE on Twitter.
Are we doing a special word tonight?
Do you want to do one? I did one yesterday, and we got a winner.
Oh, okay, never mind. If you did one yesterday, then
okay,
no need.
No,
space it out.
Our boy Sharky got it done.
Nice.
It was late. Like it was late in the podcast. It was like a 21. I don't know. It was like a 21-minute podcast, and I just let it fly. I was like, you know what? I'll have one in there.
Mm-hmm.
And he got it. So congrats to him.
Nice.
But yeah, no, we'll dive right into the topic.
So full disclaimer, we're not going to have any real analysis from Tuesday night's game. This is strictly a deadline reaction. And
yeah, we'll talk a lot. I mean, yeah, we can maybe mention a little bit about how the Brewers are doing out west. But, I mean, for the most part, we are strictly talking about the deadline, mostly around the Brewers. A little bit about the Pirates and the Cubs and what those teams did.
Yeah, we'll try to make heads or tails of what.
Yeah, exactly. I think we'll do all that, and we'll talk about it and get it locked in and get it rolling. But before we do, I wanted to mention the NBA. The NBA. I know that every week we think we're not going to cover the NBA, and we somehow do. And the NBA announced.
Yeah,
yesterday.
The NBA is turning into the NFL where it's 365.
Where I could argue, though, is that a good thing or a bad thing for them? They're like dangerously close to oversaturating themselves. We'll see what happens in August. I think they'll take a step back in August. But
it's been quiet lately, really.
Right,
I mean, it has.
You really only had this story and then the fact that Tristan basically wanted to fought Draymond in a club.
Yeah.
And that's just been kind of percolating. But, The topic is that the MGM signed a 25-year deal with the NBA to be their gaming partner. MGM's going to get all sorts of advertising out of this. I'm sure they'll be able to do sponsorships, appearances, things like that. And the NBA will also get to do that at, like, boxing events and UFC things that are done at the MGM or concerts or, you know what I mean, that it's going to be a partnership for both that and the WNBA. WNBA also has a team in Las Vegas, so there is that too, that they may play in the MGM. I'm not sure. I can't remember where they play.
Who?
The Vegas
Golden Knights?
No, the Vegas WNBA team.
I didn't know they had one.
Yeah, they have a WNBA team in Vegas. Huh. So anyways, it's this large partnership.
Well, I might as well leave.
It is a very,
I don't know anything.
It's a very innovative move. It's a progressive move. As some people joked, it might take the NFL to 2030 to figure this out. But if I was Major League Baseball, I would do this immediately. Major League Baseball is borderline on a crisis of fans.
Yeah, they're turning into hockey.
Well, exactly, and it's so crotchety. I mean, you had the thing with Joe Simpson over the weekend. Did you see that by chance? The Atlanta announcer who freaked out that the Dodgers wore T-shirts their batting practice.
Yep.
And one happened to be like a cancer support T-shirt that Chase Utley was wearing. And it's like, what are these guys going to – how are the Dodger fans who come to watch these guys play, how are they going to know who any of these guys are? I'm like
– it's like if they don't know, they probably don't care.
I'm like, this is why people hate baseball, though. Like, it's kind of like golf. Like, when golf fans get real sensitive about certain things around golf, and, like, baseball's headed that way – and so to open up the game or to reopen the game and to make it more exciting is, I think, a couple things. I think, number one, adding a gambling element would be huge. I understand that there's a lot of issues with gambling in baseball because of Pete Rose and because of Shoeless Joe Jackson. And you think that something in the 1910s wouldn't fucking matter, but it does in baseball because they're just a bunch of historical nerds who just live for that shit.
Yep.
So I don't know. Do you think that if baseball adapted something similar to what the NBA is doing, that would help them expand brand and start growing again? Would that help at all, or do you think it's kind of a moot point?
It's almost a lost cause.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot, too, is because baseball's so hard to bet on.
Yeah.
And, you know, football is easy.
Yeah.
You have fantasy football. You have DraftKings, you have, you know, obviously your Bovadas.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can bet on quarters. You can do
right.
I mean, you can
and
do so
that,
much more, and it's just so much
baseball,
more accessible.
You can, and
yeah,
I think if they were to integrate it, like, you could bet on some guys hitting home runs, and you can do certain things, and if you really worked with the government about getting things regulated inside the stadium, where it's like you can only gamble on the game inside the stadium, and there would be a lot of complications there.
Yeah.
But who knows? I'm just trying to think, you know, baseball is like at that juncture of what do we do here? And Bill Simmons and Mike Francesa talked about it a little bit more about how, like, they're in Francesa, who's an old man and he's an old radio type, but he's right in the sense that there's not a lot of action in today's baseball.
Correct.
It's either strikeout or a home run. And all these guys are trying to launch the ball. And it's the smart thing to do, and they're taking walks because that's what matters. You know, a guy like Bryce Harper only having a 220 batting average would be looked at so weirdly in 1995.
He'd be riding the pine.
Exactly. But in 2018,
he's leading off.
Yeah, he's leading off, and he's doing well. I'm sorry, I have to stand because my hamstring is about as tight as I could say a lot there, but I'm just gonna keep it at that. So, but no,
he's playing hurt, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's just I think when I don't get enough water and I gotta keep myself standing every now and again. But anyways,
beat him down.
Yeah, whatever. So, anywho. I lost my train of thought a little bit, but just like baseball needs something. They need to, I feel like what's going to come, this is what I really, and I think I may have said this on a podcast a couple weeks ago, but I think you're going to have a compromise of the DH is going to come into the NL next year. And I think the Brewers are kind of ahead of the game on that, which we can talk about shortly. And you're going to get rid of the shift. I think you'll see both those. I think you'll have illegal defenses in baseball where if you have an illegal defense, it'll work like a block. And if you stack the box or, you know, because teams will still get creative with their shifts.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're like, you can't do like drastic shifts in
baseball. It's going to be, you're going to have two infielders on each side of the base probably.
Probably.
So whatever you want to do from there.
Right. You can have like, you know.
But again, they enforce rules or they make up rules all the time. In baseball, it seems like, but they don't actually enforce anything.
Well, I think if you enforce it with the person gets a base, basically, if you get a free base, if we call it illegal, but then the umpire, you have to have a hard and fast black and white rule. That's the problem with replay. I don't get what the fuck is a right play or wrong play. A lot of people went to bed, but the Brewer-Dodger game on Monday night, Lorenzo Cain was clearly safe, and then maybe Muncy got a tag on him, but it was very hard to tell. And yet they called Cain out, mm-hmm. which was, I mean, it didn't affect the game.
Well,
but
the issue there is just it's a good old boy network, and they don't, you know, the umps and the umps make one bad call, and then the guys back in New York don't want to make them
look bad. No
one
wants to show anybody up. So, I mean, what replay system, though, really does work? I mean, there are flaws in the NBA one. There's flaws in college basketball.
I think the NFL is decent. I mean, there's...
And NFL has, like, I think had so much practice and went through so much shit that they've...
I don't think it's the replay problems. I think it's just the fucking rule problem. The rules are the problem in the NFL.
And we'll see about that. And we'll see if that is a big topic. I mean, for the thing the NFL wants the absolute least is to have a rules issue in the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Because everyone's going to be like, oh, here we go again. Here's our problem. And I think baseball has to figure out how are we going to get people to consume our sport and how are we going to get people in there? I mean, fuck, 538 wrote an article about when is the right time to leave a baseball game. Like, what? Like, you leave a baseball game when the game's over.
Right.
Like, my dad, I don't know. I mean, your parents were baseball fans. Like, we didn't leave games early. I mean, maybe you, if you're traveling from Wausau to beat some traffic,
yeah.
Fine.
No, I'm sure we were guilty of that when I was little or whatever, right, and stuff like that. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
It's, yeah, right?
But like, hey, man, dude, there are a lot of people that leave.
Oh, I know.
A lot of people that leave in, like, the eighth inning.
Right, because they got to get little Johnny home, because heaven forbid they screw up his sleep cycle one time.
What it is they can't wait to leave.
No.
I mean, that's what it is.
No, exactly. And that's, man, baseball, I was for a long time, like, baseball doesn't have this problem. What's Rob Manfred doing? Does he even like the sport? Does he even do it? I think Rob Manfred is, like, freaking the fuck out. I think Bud Selig left him with a pile of shit, and Bud Selig did not innovate.
Do you? Yeah,
and
that's true.
And he said, here you go, and he's like, we are like 10 or 12 years behind. We have to fix our streaming stuff. We have to, like,
oh yeah,
the streaming stuff's a major issue in general because of, you know.
Yeah. Do you think people, like, I guess, liked Bud Selig, and they hung around, and now the last couple of years, since he's been gone, it's just gone downhill?
Okay, so
I mean that's very weird.
Actually, no,
I don't know what my point is there, but it's
no,
just...
no. This is a weird. I'm gonna get even weirder. So I don't think people like Selig. I think people thought Selig was a crotchety old man, mm-hmm. and dismissed him. And then Rob Manfred came in, and now he's trying to make some changes. And we're like, oh, Selig isn't too bad. it's kind of like George W. Bush. Like, people hated George W. Bush when he was in office. But now that Trump's president, people are like, oh, George Bush really wasn't that bad.
Right.
And he had some issues, but he wasn't that bad. He wasn't Trump. So I think there is some of that. I think there is some to that. So the idea there is, like, I don't know. And I know that we were supposed to talk about the NBA, but really how I wanted to bring this up was, like, so the NBA is first. The NHL has apparently said that they want in as well, which makes sense. So the MLB should follow. And if the NFL takes a while longer, fine. But that's how it should go. That's how it should be.
I just think the MLB needs to embrace, like, YouTube and Twitter.
Oh, God. They need to. They just need to accept the fact that, like the NBA does, you know, make it a community.
Like, maybe
NBA,
just like maybe the game. I mean, just maybe the game isn't that exciting. You know, I mean, obviously, probably every night in baseball, on a Tuesday night or Wednesday night when there's 14 games or whatever, there's got to be at least one play that could be an immediate highlight.
Right.
That could go viral.
That
on
could
Twitter.
Go viral. Exactly. No, I agree. And I think that's part of it. I think they've, like, the Jackie Bradley Jr. catch, right? That he made, like, an amazing catch.
And I never even saw it.
On Sunday, right? Okay. Yeah, that's an NBA play. That right. is everywhere.
Right.
There's blogs, there's everything. But people are afraid to get user generated content because they'll get shadow banned by baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you have to allow that stuff. And let fans just be able to showcase their own team and be talking about their own team.
Yep.
Mike Trout isn't marketable, which is something we didn't talk about that Manfred said, which was a ridiculous comment in general, because they don't allow him to be. He's
right.
And he plays on a shit team, you know?
Yeah, the Angels have just been just mediocre. Mediocre,
yeah.
Mediocre.
Wow.
He's been
in the league for 8 years and he's only had three postseason appearances, like three games, not even appearances, three total games. Like
1 year and they got swept or what?
Yeah, I believe by the Royals.
Wow,
that's it. That is it. That's crazy. That's wild to me. But that's part of that marketing stuff, and that's why I think there's such an excitement for a guy like Aaron Judge who's hurt right now. But, like, the Yankees could be around for a long time and, you know, Mookie Betts, too. And just you have – I think baseball's in a better spot with their young stars because some of their most public teams are good.
And people don't hate the Yankees right now.
No, not yet.
Like, do you remember the 90s? And
oh,
like,
yeah.
Obviously, with Jeter. Like, people hated Jeter.
Yeah.
People hated A-Rod.
Yeah, right.
People hated the Yankees.
Right.
Hate the Yankees now.
Well, I think part of it, too, is Steinbrenner. I think people hated Steinbrenner. I think a lot of dads and, you know, not to leave moms out, but maybe moms, too. But, like, I just remember my dad just fucking hated Steinbrenner. I think Steinbrenner was such a one percenter before, like, 1% was a thing, but sort of just would look your nose down at everybody.
Yeah. Well,
And so I think a lot of that had to do with...
But he was a great owner.
Right. And he just brought in... I wouldn't say he was great. He had moments of flying off the handle. He finally got his shit together in 1990s and figured it out. And Brian Cashman was a perfect GM for him to sort of level him out. Same with Joe Torre. Like, Phil Hughes was on Part of My Take. And it was a great interview. But he mentioned how Joe Torre was, like, the best player manager he had ever had, and one of the best managers he ever had. Like, he had just came up. Torre knew he was from California, and he had just pitched, like, on Saturday, and he was starting at the time. And Torre goes, why don't you just take a day off? Like, don't stay in New York. Go to California, be with your family, like, hang out with your family for a day.
Wow.
And, like, we'll just see you on Monday. And he's
I mean
– What guy does that? And that I feel like there's probably stories like that about George Torre all over the place.
Probably.
And part of the reason why the Red Sox are so successful is a lot of people say Alex Cora is this just great manager, and he's just a guy that you want to play for.
Yeah.
And that's
I think Council's like that.
Well, yeah. And that brings us probably to the
I mean,
deadline.
Like I said, I was watching highlights. I watched the 2011 Nigel Morgan hit.
Yeah.
And who was on the field? Craig Council.
Right.
It's like, man. A couple years later, he's the manager.
Right, and I think the Brewers are, man, a lot of Brewer slander today. And I think that we, you know, obviously need to wade through it and just sort of go.
I almost got mad when because I didn't think we were going to get anybody else.
Yeah.
And then right at the buzzer, Dealin' Dave.
Dealin' Dave gets Jonathan Scope, and Jonathan Scope adds to a meaty Brewer infield The Brewers infield is a beef squad.
So Scope is a pretty bigger guy too, which I didn't recognize. He's 225 apparently. Yeah. Jesus Aguilar, 250, which is generous. He's probably closer to 280.
Yeah.
And Moose is it's a 225 for him too, which I don't believe.
Moose is,
that dude's
Moose
fat.
Yeah, he's fat. Moose Moose likes those ribs.
And Shaw, I've discussed ad nauseum, who's just a big stiff out there. He's probably at least 225, 230.
So yes, the Brewers have the all beef infield. Scope's gonna probably play shortstop. His name's gonna get mispronounced by every radio caller.
Yep. Shoop pitched great.
Shoop. Shope. But he'll be with the team probably on Wednesday. We'll see if the Brewers insert him into the lineup or they wait till Thursday when they do face a lefty in Clayton Kershaw. And Scope is a better guy against lefty. He's been hotter than shit.
Yeah.
Just on fire. And I think I can't believe the national media is killing the Brewers for not getting a starting pitcher. Sports Illustrated called them a loser.
That bullpen is untouchable.
MLB Network called them a loser. Like, Tom Verducci was like outraged the Brewers didn't get a starter. It's like, what do you assholes want?
Yeah.
Like, really? Okay. Let's really unpack it, Mitch.
Well, all we have to do is put a Cubs jersey on and everybody's favorite.
And like, why are
the best organization?
And why are people sucking the Dodgers' dick? What did the Dodgers do besides get Manny Machado? They got Brian Dozier. I mean, I would probably rather have Scope. You have a couple years of control. I'd rather have Scope. I mean, granted, they got Dozier for next to nothing, but still, I'd rather have Scope.
Yeah,
and then also they got John Axford. Whoop-de-doo. I'd rather have Joaquin Soria any day of the fucking week.
Joaquin,
like Joaquin Phoenix.
Yes, that's okay. Joaquin, but
yeah.
Right. Joaquin Soria.
I'm gonna fuck that up 100 times. So just let me go.
Joe Kim Soria.
No, I'm not gonna go Joe Kim.
Joe Kim Noah. Spelled the same way.
Yeah, it is. Why are everybody giving the doc? I get Manny Machado's a great player. Don't get me wrong.
When's the last time Axford was any good? Like 5 years ago?
Yeah, he's been all right this year. But still, it's like, the spin by MLB Network was, well, they just sometimes know a little more than everybody else does. Okay. Like,
specifically, who said that?
I don't remember. But
Plesak or somebody?
What? Not even Plesak.
I like Plesak.
I do like Plesak. A little brutal as a color guy, but he's fine. But anyways,
a little brutal, but he's fine.
But yeah. The Brewers, I mean, they did fine. Like, why are people beating up the? Can you explain to me why people are beating up the Brewers? Like, if you had to look at it from an outside perspective. Is it the small market?
I think it's you look at the names.
You look
at the names in the starting lineup and the starting rotation and say, who are these guys? And I think that's the exact problem. I think that's the problem with people who are mad in Wisconsin. You know, you just see Junior Guerra. You know, these guys are all right. But then it's like you look at the numbers, and their numbers are good. I mean, the starting pitching is fine. Aren't they like second in NL and starting pitching ERA?
Second in NL, they are fifth overall in the league.
Yeah.
They, I believe, lead the league in quality starts.
And guess what?
Lead the NL in quality starts.
Now, the one valid point I will say is that, and I've said it all year, I just don't trust any of them in a must-win situation.
Sure.
But all you got to do is pretty much get through four.
Yeah, look at last night.
With this Brewers, this bullpen. I mean, you basically have two Jeremy Jeffress now.
Yes.
With Soria and Jeffress.
Yeah.
Who have sub-2 ERAs.
Right.
Hader clearly isn't really affected by anything, which I was worried about.
Me too.
But he's been good. Knebel,
Yeah.
But he's all right. I mean, that's four innings that are covered if you need it.
And it seems like Council's learned a lesson with Knebel, saying that we have to get him out there more often. Like, Council's like, he can't take days off.
Basically. If your worst relievers is Matt Albers, I mean.
And Dan Jennings.
And Dan Jennings, who's been shaky, but Matt Albers, who's been hurt. I mean, he could probably be a setup man on anybody's team.
Right. And it's also true, not like you can't get, like, look at another bullpen option for, you know, a guy like Taylor Williams or, you know.
Taylor Williams is pretty good too, I think.
I think he's just hit a rough patch. I think they've kind of figured,
yeah,
he has to work through it. But Derek Johnson is going to do what Derek Johnson does. And Corbin Burns has been nothing short of great out of the pen so far. I mean,
do you think Stearns was trying to get Gausman too?
Yeah, I think he was. I think he wanted
and they wanted like Hira or Burns.
Yeah, I think that's basically what happened. I think they don't want.
And he told him to go fly a kite.
Yeah, and I think they would like to avoid Gausman becoming like the next Jake Arrieta, where he becomes the number one starter for somebody else. And the two guy, and also too, I think the Braves upped their offer because the two guys that really worked with Gausman and worked well for Gausman, both are in Atlanta now coaching.
So Baltimore, isn't it too? Baltimore's like entire old front office is in Philly.
Yep, that's also another thing.
Man, and then these other teams are doing pretty good.
Right. And like, I don't know, Baltimore is probably...
How bad do you feel for, like, Adam Jones?
Well, apparently Adam...
Like he's having a good year.
So apparently Adam Jones didn't want to get traded. He knows he'll probably be done at the end of this year. But he's really strong ties to Baltimore. He has his family lives there. Like, he basically said, I don't really want to go. And I think management did him a solid and said... All right, we'll just keep you around.
Like, and then he's a free agent in the offseason?
I think so, yeah.
So then he'll probably go.
Yeah, and maybe he tells them, he's like, hey, don't trade me now. Let's bring it up again around the waiver season. And maybe then I can say, yeah, let's just make it happen.
Because he's from San Diego, so maybe he goes to the Padres.
Maybe he goes Padres, maybe he goes somewhere else.
Giants or somebody.
And
Giants would probably take him. They like getting washed up guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or borderline washed up guys.
The Giants are not a good franchise right now. Giants.
I don't know. Yeah.
Who do you think? This is a little off topic.
Because they didn't do anything today.
No, a little off topic, but similar. Who do you think's in a bigger mess right now? The St. Louis Cardinals or San Francisco Giants? Not even considering prospects. Just looking at it.
Probably the Giants.
Even with Baumgartner.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, Cueto might need Tommy John.
Cueto was throwing 85 on Saturday.
And they think he might need Tommy John.
So he's been getting just hit all over the yard since coming
and
back.
If he needs Tommy John, he's going to be done for at least...
Another year,
and he's old. I mean,
he's
pretty much done. Like, who knows?
Baumgartner has had a freak injury last year, right? And he's been hurt some this year, too.
So he's...
And the Giants have, like, no farm system.
Right.
I mean, whatever they had, they got rid of.
Yeah, and that's the thing with the Cardinals is they always seem to get farm system and they always seem
to
get talent.
The Cardinals will have some pitcher they drafted in the 25th round or whatever who throws, 97, and they get him developed and he's enough to contribute at, he'll get hot in the postseason and he'll ride him to a World Series.
I still think they'd be better off rebuilding with the fact that the Pirates seem to be content with, and we'll talk about the Pirates in a second, but the Pirates seem to want to be contenders. The Reds are not that far away. I don't think the Reds are that far from being a thing.
Well, the Reds just need some kind of pitching.
Right.
I mean, their offense is fine.
Yeah, they need to find some pitchers that are ground ballers that can pitch in Great America Park, and once they find that, they could be okay.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think they're both at an August, but we're working our way back to the Brewers. I'm not concerned about the defense. I think the Brewers can outslug pretty much anybody in the big leagues.
Yeah.
I think you have 27 games at home. You have games – you won't have a lot of games where you're playing in parks where these guys can't hit home runs. 1-7 can go yard at any point.
And I think that 1-7 is going to look a lot different between righties and lefties.
Absolutely.
Because I think righties, you probably go, I guess, Yelich, Kane, Moustakas.
Maybe, yeah.
Aguilar. Shaw?
Yep.
And then Scope. Scope probably against righties?
Yeah. I mean, you can do a lot. I mean, they're going to be creative. I think Council's a mad scientist.
That's going to drive the pinheads nuts, too.
Oh, yeah. But it's great. I think it's awesome because you never know what to expect as a team.
Monday night's lineup?
Yeah.
Was weird.
Yeah, Yelich led off.
It was Yelich, Moustakas, Kane.
I think that's partly because Maeda... he's not as good against lefties. His splits against lefties, the handedness, he's not that good. But I think so is maybe to try to attack Maeda early, which worked, and you had bases loaded with no outs, and then you only got one run across.
Yeah.
But I mean...
Yeah, I mean, so you've seen lineups with Moustakas at second. I don't think he's hitting the same spot twice. Maybe third twice now.
And I think Council is just going to keep...
I think he hit fifth or sixth once, too.
Yeah, I think he's just going to keep playing it around. I think it screws up teams from a scouting perspective, pitching-wise.
True. Like, that's a good point. And we had the discussion in our pre-production meeting about just how, you know, it's going to be, we're in that awkward time after, yeah, now that like the day or two or the rest of the week after the trade deadline where some guys were on the block, so they thought they were getting traded and they weren't. And it's like, well, these guys don't really want me. You know, managers are trying to figure out how to use their new players, you know, hitting guys first, second, third, fourth, like every night. And, you know, pitchers, like you saw, Steven Matz got absolutely destroyed on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder what that meant. I mean, you almost have to try to be that bad.
Well, the rumor was, I saw this from somebody that basically a scout,
he wasn't in rumors, I don't think, but.
But a scout said, I didn't even know who to contact with the Mets to know to make a trade. Like, I have no idea who to contact. The Mets
Because their GM is on a leave, right?
They are in a complete clusterfuck. Like, the fact that the Mets tried to ask too much for a guy like Zach Wheeler, who they easily could have got the package that the Brewers sent to for Scope. Like,
well, and I understand not trading Syndergaard or DeGrom.
Sure.
Unless you get that's borderline like Bryce Harper package.
Right, yeah.
But like Zach Wheeler, you can get rid of him.
Yeah, Zach Wheeler.
You could probably find another one of those.
Zach Wheeler's hot. Like, he's pitching well, but there's not to say that he didn't have elbow injuries, that he hasn't been sometimes a little bit of a just okay pitcher, where he gives you five innings, but he gives up three runs. Like, if anyone was a loser, it was the Mets. And probably they were. I didn't really look at, like, winner-losers.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, for me, you know, I do not consider the Brewers a loser at the deadline. And I think if you do, you're just, A, not watching this team enough. Like, you're just not paying enough attention.
I mean,
and I understand it as a national media.
To not have to watch Tyler Saladino hit fifth.
Yeah, no shit.
Anything to do that is fine
with
me. And
Hernan Perez and Hernan Perez now goes back to being a bench player, which is probably a really good thing for the Brewers bench.
And Jonathan Villar gets to play every day.
Yeah, and I'm happy for Villar.
Yeah.
I think Villar still has a chance to be okay.
And Brett Phillips.
And Brett Phillips gets a chance. Like, and you're not mad about any of this. Like, Jeff Passan dick riding for Brett Phillips was a weird move on Friday night. Like, I don't know if Passan just has a personal, like, relationship with him. I know he's from Kansas. He has, like, roots in Kansas City. So I don't know if that was part of it where they were just...
He's really just anti-Brewers?
Yeah, he has said some mean stuff about Ryan Braun in the past. And I may or may not have gotten into it with him about Ryan Braun a few years ago.
So, another one on the list of haters.
I mean, yeah, they're everywhere.
Bob Nightingale loves the Cubs.
Bobby, oh man, speaking of Bob Nightingale, he didn't do it as much. Krasnick did a lot of it, and so did Heyman. Gotta love how much Scott Boras pushed Matt Harvey to, like, well, Matt Harvey could fall in the Brewers' laps. And guess what? The Brewers don't fucking want Matt Harvey.
Yeah, no kidding.
How hard is it? It's all driven by Scott Boras. God damn it.
I saw somebody, it was Kurt Hogg, wasn't it? Quote tweeted, I think, one of those saying, oh, it looks like somebody's been getting a lot of texts from agents today. Or like, agents are sending texts like crazy
today.
You
don't follow Kurt Hogg.
He's pretty funny,
yeah. He works for the Journal Sentinel now. Kurt is, to me, one of my favorite baseball follows.
He's pretty funny.
He's great. He's A, smart about baseball, but also he has enough snark where he doesn't take himself too seriously.
Right.
So I don't know when the Big Jays will tell him, like, hey, you gotta rein it in, but hopefully never.
Yeah.
Hopefully never.
Another issue with baseball. There's just no good Twitter followers.
There's not, like,
I mean, there's just,
there's not a Wope. There's not, like, a, no, there's not a Rob Perez.
That dude is amazing, yeah. That dude's fucking hilarious.
He tries a little too hard sometimes.
He does.
But
he does
same with,
sometimes.
Like, Shea Serrano, who everybody loves. And, like, there's other basketball guys who are great. But you're right. There isn't that baseball dude who you, like, you have to follow him, you know, or her, you know. Like, Lana Berry for a while had
that. Somebody needs to just, you know, step up.
Right. And Lana Berry, I think, for a while had that sort of, she was really good. And then I think now she dates somebody inside the Dodgers organization. So it's kind of like, I don't think the church and state separation is
business and pleasure
is not as much there. I just don't see her tweeting that much anymore. Maybe it's not to do with her relationship, and it's just, she's done with it. She's like, I'm retired. Fuck it.
And if you want me to say I fucked up, I fucked up.
Who fucked up? Me?
Her.
Oh, man, I was like getting myself in trouble. I mean,
no.
I've been putting my ass in the jackpot a little bit with women this week, if you listened to Daily Tap yesterday. But, you know, so it's happens. But just be careful what you're copy and pasting. That's all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Any other deadline stuff? Wilson Ramos?
Oh, yeah, it sucks to lose out on Wilson Ramos. Chris Archer.
That's a stacked lineup.
How do you feel? Did it warm your heart when I called the Pirates the Herb Cole box of baseball?
A little bit. You're right. I mean, you're absolutely right, because it's just they need to rebuild. They traded off McCutchen and Gerrit Cole, and you thought it was going to be a full-blown rebuild. Now they got hotter than hell in July.
Yeah, the Brewers basically paved the way for Chris Archer to the Pirates.
The Brewers, I mean, that was sneaky brilliant by the Brewers right there.
Maybe.
Send everybody in the DL, get the Pirates dicks hard. And now they went and got rid of like their top two prospects.
They get rid of Austin Matthews, who has a .438 on-base percentage.
Austin Meadows.
Meadows, what did I call him?
Austin Matthews, that's a hockey player.
Oh, yes. Austin
Number one
Meadows.
Overall pick.
There's a lot of Austins who are like young Gen Zers.
And Tyler Glasnow or whatever,
Glasnow,
who's like 6'8".
Which is really interesting. I saw this, that the Rays pitching coach is actually 6'8 as well. And so he has experience, you know, working with taller pitchers. And part of the reason, some people think Glasnow is good enough to be like Randy Johnson. Like, has that good of stuff.
Really?
And I mean, now the Rays have an interesting rotation. If Glasnow becomes a starter again, him and Blake Snell, I mean, not bad.
So you're the Pirates, right? You just got Chris Archer. Okay. Chris Archer is, his numbers are middling.
Yeah. Here's another question.
You're hoping he's going to be the ace, which is fair. Because I'd be pumped if the Brewers got Chris Archer.
Right. But would I still be asking you this question? Are we sure Chris Archer's good?
Probably.
I think
I
asked.
I don't think he would be if we got him. We'd be like, oh yeah, we got Chris Archer.
Well, but
I've been kind of saying all along, like, the numbers aren't great. I don't doubt that a change of scenery would probably help him, and it probably will. PNC's not really a hitter's park. It's,
right,
it's a decent pitcher's park.
Right.
It's nice. It's an actual like professional baseball field.
Sure.
But so what's going to happen? So they're going to trade him again next year.
Yeah,
when they finish with 84 wins this year?
They're going to get 84 wins, and then they'll flip them again for nothing. And if you do that, I mean, the Pirates should revolt. And then some of the narratives that were like, these guys hold on to prospects, and they care about prospects too much. Well, there's a difference between caring about a prospect too much or knowing you're at the end of the rope with a guy and that you're better off without him. Case in point, Lewis Brinson. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Matt LaPorta. Case in point, Brett Lowry. And I'm only using the Brewers as examples because that's what I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
But look at all those guys.
And those are all guys that were top prospects,
right,
that didn't amount to anything.
And if you remember, Brewer fans freaked out about losing Matt LaPorta. That was a legitimate freakout in 2008.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, are we sure that we're giving up like the future of our team?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a legitimate take.
Yeah.
Brett Lowry, it was a take.
And, you know, the whole 2011 when they went all in.
Zach Greinke.
People, I mean, that without that trade, we don't get to the NLCS.
100% no.
And then, obviously, 4 years later when all the young guys we traded were in their primes or entering their primes, I mean, they win the World Series, so then hindsight becomes 2020. Should have never done that trade.
Oh, that
you know, 4 years later.
Oh, God, that was the worst. That was the worst in 2015.
And it's like, you idiots.
Brewers just started a rebuild.
We just got a Cy Young pitcher for him, though, and it took he took us to the World Series, or almost the World Series.
Yeah, game six of the NLCS.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is we had one last ride with Prince Fielder, and that was great.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and also, like, not... Yeah, Escobar was pretty good. Lorenzo Cain was really good. But, like, Jeremy Jeffries had his problems in Kansas City. He came back, and obviously we know that story. Jake Odorizzi got traded to Tampa Bay. Then he got traded to Minnesota. Like, Odorizzi is a fine pitcher, but he's nothing
special.
He's a three-starter. He's a four-starter.
Probably.
You know? It's like, so that's just how trades go, man.
Right.
Like, you just can't get yourself too wrapped up in it. And, yeah, if the Brewers know that Hura might not be, if they have some serious concerns and Scope ends up showing out, Hura becomes expendable this winter. That's the other thing that not a lot of people are talking about.
Or Scope does.
Or Scope, right. But Hura could be a piece you use to get Jacob deGrom in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
And getting Lorenzo Cain was a prelude to getting Christian Yelich.
Correct.
So you
is,
always.
Well, how old is Scope? 26?
I think so. And he's
still pretty young.
And he's apparently a great clubhouse guy. He's apparently a great clubhouse.
Yeah, it seemed like all the fans were sad to see him go. So
yeah. So I love that. I mean, just give me more clubhouse guys. He's not from the U.S., right? He's from Aruba?
Curaçao.
Curaçao. Okay.
which is pretty close.
Yeah, I was close. I knew it was in the Caribbean.
It's in the same region. Yeah, he's 26.
Yeah. Still got some years, man.
Jonathan Rufino, Jesus Scope.
Yeah, I like it. Rufino. You kind of wish it was Rufio, though. Rufio! You big Hook fan back
played
in the day?
Played in the Little League World Series.
Oh, fun fact.
03-04.
There you go. We're taping this before Tuesday night's Brewer game. Brewers have won 4 on the West Coast before we go into the Packers. Brewers need to get one more, right? Like, I know we usually say, like,
please, please give me one more.
Give me one more.
Give me a winning road trip. It's right there. You got to win one of the last three.
One of the last three. You have Kershaw on Thursday, but Kershaw doesn't really scare me anymore. By the way, here's a little hot take. I don't think the Dodgers win the West.
I think they do.
I think the Diamondbacks do.
No.
I like the Diamondbacks better.
I'd probably bet you on that.
Maybe. I don't know. Let me think about that. I'll give you an answer by Friday.
Okay.
They're
going to have Dozier hitting like eighth.
Oh, that's right. They did get Brand Dozier too. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. You're right. Yeah, they're kind of loaded. Man, would I love Chris Taylor on the Brewers. Chris Taylor's probably like one of my favorite players. Oh, who's not
Wally Waukesha would really, really like Chris Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Chris Taylor is like Scooter Gennett, like on another level.
Well, he is Scooter, except actually good.
No, he's actually good. Right, exactly.
Chris Taylor is.
Yeah, Scooter's just
Scooter's fake good.
Yeah, Scooter just fake has tough. has a big stadium that he hits in. Was whatever.
When are you going to change SnowTap's URL to ScooterGennettIsNotGood.com?
I don't know. Maybe that's our next patron page.
That should be like a shirt.
Maybe we
caricature of Scooter and just said Scooter Jeanette is not good.
The Scooter non-believers or something like that. Yeah. Or I don't believe in Scooter. And then on the back have like a NRW forever, just as a homage to Ricky Weeks. Because that was the best. Like I'm gonna go in this rabbit hole, but fuck it. The best was like how this subtle racism was with Ricky Weeks and Scooter Gennett.
For sure.
Oh my God. That was bad. That would have been such a bigger thing in 2018. Like if you would have made the correlation,
there has to be something somewhat explicit for people to start jumping on it. But yeah, I mean, yeah, there definitely was. I think people were also tired of Ricky Weeks too.
We've talked about Ricky Weeks before.
I mean, we all were.
Ricky Weeks is like the Mount Rushmore of like guys who, if they were drafted in a different spot, would be thought of way differently.
Yep.
AJ Hawk, Andrew Bogut.
Well, yeah, I mean, they just, you know, again, they were just kind of disappointing.
Who would be the Bucks representative in that category?
Andrew Bogut, right?
It would be Bogut. Because I guess Bogut is a disappointment because you could have Chris Paul or Deron Williams.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, he just was.
Yeah.
Wasn't his fault he got traded to the Warriors for Monte Ellis instead of Steph Curry.
Monte Ellis have it all.
Yep.
All right. So as I was mentioning, patron, time for a SnowTap announcement. So we are starting this first offshoot of SnowTap. It's called SnowTap Gaming. It'll start out featuring fantasy football and some gambling. Nolan Murphy has a big board ready for you. So if you're getting ready to do your draft already this weekend, it's a little early, but if you are, it's all set up. It's all there. It's ready for you. Murph's going to be going through his board position by position, taking a look. I'll be giving you updates every day of guys you need to know about, like a fast five, basically, of here are guys you should be paying attention to, because so much gets lost in a shuffle because you can't keep up with everything. And then as we continue on, we'll start doing some things with gambling. We might get a little SnowTap Twitch going, get a little video game action from your boy Mitch.
Oh, wow.
They have abilities to do Twitch. So
if you get me a camera, I could probably make that happen.
Well, maybe. Well, we'll have
that's an offline conversation.
That is a very much an offline conversation, sir. But no. You know, the thing is like, I think we wanted to start this because we saw opportunity. We think that a lot of people are frankly paying too much for fantasy football advice. You see people charging $100, $150, $30.
I know it's not fantasy sports necessarily, but it certainly could help. But there's like websites out there that have, you know, like Pro Football Focus.
Right.
It's just, I think they're one that they charge. They
probably $20 bucks a month.
And there was something, I was with Bill Michaels one day, and he buys it.
Right.
And he said this was, I think, last year.
Yeah.
And it was like $400 or whatever. It like doubled from what he paid the year before.
Right. Because everybody's trying to get a part of this cheese. And while a little bit we are, we're not charging that much. We're charging you $17, and it's $340 a month. So it'll come out of your bank account every month, and it's that's less than beer in most places in Wisconsin and in most cities if you're not listening to us in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. And you get fantasy stuff all the time. I believe you can subscribe to our posts so you know when we have a new post out there. We will link out to things, and it'll go directly to patrons, so you'll have to sign up for you to be able to read that, those content. And yeah, we're really excited about it. I think it's something Murph and I will probably take a daily taps week and do a podcast each week, sort of breaking down the games, talking about the trends and stuff like that. And so it definitely, we're looking forward to it. And also too, sneaky bonus for Mitch, he gets to not talk as much about football.
All right.
I know how, where you stand with that NFL stuff. So, and then who knows? I know you'll probably say, well, what are you going to do?
I watch every Packer game.
I know you do. What are you going to do about basketball? What are you going to do?
Thinking about this, though. Personally, I don't think I could name 5 cornerbacks in the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
I probably could if I thought about it long enough.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know.
It's tough, man. It's tough to know.
There's so much turnover in the NFL, it seems like, exactly. And guys are hurt. And
yeah, and exactly your point, though, I think a lot of people are like you, and I think a lot of people still play fantasy.
But then there are people like a Nolan, like a Charlie.
And that's what we're here
for. Do all the hard work, the heavy lifting.
Right. We're telling you about—
For us simpletons.
Like, take John Ross, for example. I wrote about him on Sunday and basically told you guys, like, John Ross is showing out in camp. John Ross was a huge bust and probably not on a lot of people's fantasy radars. And that's a guy you could maybe get in the late rounds and you pick him up and maybe he's starting on your fantasy roster in week 5.
He's a UW Husky.
You bet. And who knows? Maybe you're starting
a bungle.
What's the name of the kid for the Packers? Jake Cronow or Crocknow? The Whitewater guy who's been playing first team reps?
Oh, Jesus. I don't know. Yeah. Sounds familiar. Oh, he's a receiver?
Yeah.
Huh.
A lot of buzz there. I wouldn't say we're at Janus level yet, but we're close.
There's no way, right? They're super deep.
No.
At receiver.
I don't know if they're deep.
They're pass catching options as the tight end receiver.
Yeah.
They're not keeping more than like 5 wideouts.
So feel free to sign up. I know it's early. We'll be pumping the shit out of this. We'll be talking about it a lot. And if you guys have any questions, feel free to reach out, shoot me a DM, shoot me a Facebook message, feel free to DM me on Instagram. We're happy to talk to you guys about why we're doing this and also what is all involved and what you all get. And if your stuff that you see on the Patreon page, it's patreon.snowtapfantasy. And if there's stuff you see and you're like, I'd like to see this.
Snowtap Gaming or Snowtap Fantasy?
Good question. I think it's Snowtap Gaming. That's a great question. We'll have the link in the bio. All right. We'll have the link in our post today. And so then you know that this is why we're doing it, what we're coming out with. So I'm excited for it. I think you guys should be. And like I said, if you have any other questions, just feel free to hit me up, and we're happy to talk about it. So as we finish up with the Packer training camp, we're headed to family night. It's crazy. Preseason, first preseason game is Thursday. That's the Hall of Fame game. Baltimore's playing somebody. I don't know who they're playing, but everybody's probably watching to watch Lamar Jackson. A lot of Lamar Jackson buzz for the first game of the season.
But Joe Flacco is our quarterback.
Yes, that is
that's coming.
It's a thing. Definitely a thing. And it's interesting. The Packers, I think the Aaron Rodgers thing is obviously a big thing. It's been percolating for a little bit here about his interceptions, and I don't know how much should be made or shouldn't be made about it. I think nothing at all. But you have more ear to the streets. Has it been a topic on sports radio or not really?
I haven't caught it yet.
Okay. So maybe people—
I've also been a little disconnected this week.
Yeah, maybe people are ignoring it. But Aaron Rodgers, I think there's nothing to worry about there. The running back race is interesting.
The woke take is he's trying to make the defense better.
That's, I think, trying a little too hard. I think he's just trying things. He's just basically Brett Favre-ing it out there and seeing what's happening. And I also think, like, beat writers are great. Like, I think, guys like Michael Cohen, Brian Wood, Tom Silverstein do a great job. But at the same time, I think fans get so wrapped up in seeing every tweet that they fly off the handle.
Yeah.
Like Josh Jackson today did not have a good day. He was a little grabby. He said he was really grabby. Was what coincided.
There's a lot of that where it's like these guys are just tweeting out their observations and people take it as gospel.
Right. And as somebody who has went through like a training camp before, I can tell you that I've had bad practices. And if someone was watching me every day and I was under a microscope, they might say, "Oh man, Trischler's looked really rough on Monday and Tuesday." But then Wednesday and Thursday, it could be fine. I mean, Kevin King, I think, had a tweet about that where he was like, "Don't like take everything you read on social media. Like, just relax, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, settle down." And I think we're so hyper focused. I think also too.
So, into that point too, you had like Mike Daniels gate where he went back with his helmet to the locker room, and everybody's thinking, "Oh boy, great!" And then he comes back out 10 minutes later.
Right, and Kentrell Bryce today. He was just watching practice, but he was fine.
We had to take a live cut in that Mike Daniels left the practice field, but he was fine.
Exactly. And that's ridiculous. Like, we need to do you think people are on edge with the Packers because of last season? Do you think that's part of the reason that everybody's a little edgy?
I think people are edgy from that. And I think they have insane expectations for this team.
Really?
I wouldn't say it's maybe insane. There's just high expect. They expect now with Jimmy Graham. I think Jimmy Graham's better than Jordy Nelson.
Yes.
You have Aaron Rodgers back.
Yes.
The defense, they've made some actual legitimate free agent signings,
yes.
Charlie.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus.
100%.
So, like I said, Chuck, here's the biggest thing. They have no one to blame.
Right.
Ted Thompson's gone. Dom Capers is gone.
So it's just down to Mike McCarthy.
It's down to McCarthy, and it's down to just any little thing you can grasp to.
Right, and so people are just looking for things to,
it's like
to
when,
worry about.
It's like when Bucks Twitter lost Jason Kidd. It was like, our anger can no longer be unified.
So
it almost got more annoying.
Can I ask you then, so Gary Ellerson, I think, had something like a week ago on radio and said, he said the Packers are kind of rebuilding and that people should put their expectations at a different level. Do you agree with that? I mean, I know he brought up the point that like 23% of the roster is brand new.
That happens every year.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree. Yeah, I just wanted to lob it out there,
sure.
Because we're talking about the expectations and where people are seeing this team.
And again, I mean, as long as you have number 12, you're not.
No, yeah, you're okay. I think, yes, Jimmy Graham's better than Jordy Nelson. Jordy, a.k.a. the Jonathan Lucroy of the National Football League. He's been a little mouthy. He made a comment about Jared Cook. Oh, we were really surprised Jared Cook went, but I know how that goes now.
Well, and apparently Jordy Nelson's doing really well with Oakland too, so.
It's week one of training camp.
I know.
Let's talk to me in November when Jordy barely has his knees and hamstrings left. I'm serious.
Catching tutties from the best quarterback in the league.
Well, yeah, you are a noted Raiders
fan. I was riding that last year, but I'm a little off that now.
You think? There's definitely reasons to be off that. All right, well, we'll be back next week.
I just used to love fighting people saying, check the numbers, Derek Carr's better than Aaron Rodgers.
We'll be back next week. We'll talk again about, I'm sure, whatever is new in the Packer land. Recap what's happened with the Brewers as they finish up this West Coast trip.
Talk about the next injury in training camp.
And then they come home to play a very good Rockies team. They have this NL West, like, play NL West for like a fucking month.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Braves, and then a big two-game set with the Cubs. Get it on.
Like, when's their next easy stretch? I mean, they already blew their last easy stretch.
They don't really. I mean, the Padres hit for three is nice at home middle of the week. And they have some days off coming up.
Finally. Yeah.
And the Cubs really do not. So
the Brewers did not have a day off outside of the All-Star break in the month of July.
That's fucking wild.
They played two games in one of those days.
And, oh, by the way, Cubs are down 5-3 to the Pirates in the eighth inning.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. And we hate to go, but we have to. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll do Daily Tap. Excited to talk to you guys. For Mitch, I'm Charlie. Take care, guys. Have a good night.
See ya.